Matthew chapter number 4, verse number 17, we'll begin our reading. The Bible says, from that time, Jesus began to preach. He's talking about beginning his earthly ministry. He's about 30 years old at this point. He's beginning his earthly ministry. And guess what he began doing? Preaching. Jesus Christ was a preacher. What about that? He is the preacher. He is the prince of preachers. And he began to preach. Well, what did he preach? Repent. Now, repentance is Jesus' idea. Repentance of sin deals, it's Jesus' thought. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 18, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Now notice this. When Jesus is beginning his earthly ministry, he didn't just begin preaching, but he realized, I need partners. I need partners. I need some help. I need some instruments to work through. I need some people. Amen. God could do his work without us if he had so designed to do that. But he didn't. He designed his plan. He designed his purpose to use you and me in his work. And what an honor it is to serve the Lord like that, and then him still reward us for it. And you can't beat that. So he starts calling men. He calls Andrew and Peter. Verse 19, he says to them, follow me. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Verse 21, and going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. I wondered as I was reading that, and I'll let you be seated in a second, I was wondering if that success rate would have been held true all since that time up to the present time, what God could have done. What do you mean success rate? He calls four, and all four of them followed him. He calls four men, they all sever relationships and fellowships and whatever they have to do to follow the Lord. Amen. And if you've been called to salvation, you have been called to service. It is God's will that you serve the Lord. Now, I know that's elementary, but how many of our churches are filled with professing believers and they don't have a clue why God saved them? What purpose God saved you for? What is it that God wants you to do in this walk of life? Let's bow for a moment of prayer and you can be seated. Father, I thank you so much for the privilege, Lord, to bow before you once again. And dear Lord, to pray and to thank you. Lord, thank you for saving me from a devil's hell. Thank you, Lord, for being God, for being good. Thank you for meeting with us this morning. Thank you for watch care over us as we travel this week and preach. And thank you for good liberty and results and souls. Their lives been changed and challenged to go with God. We pray that you help us this morning. Lord, I'm not standing in this pulpit just to give a little speech and dear God, just to go through a little performance. Dear Lord, I'm interested in, dear God, saying what you want me to say. Yes. Nothing more, nothing less. Help me, dear Lord, to be sensitive, the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I'll thank you and praise you, God, for what you do. For we ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, if you'll notice in this passage, and it's very evident and very clear, Jesus is interested in men. He's interested in calling men, and he's interested in catching men. Do you see that? He's calling Peter and Andrew. He's calling James and John for the purpose of making fishermen of men out of them. He said, just like you've used your nets to catch fish, he said, I'm going to use your life to catch men. And so there's a similarity there between these nets and their lives. These men couldn't catch fish without a net. And you will not catch men in the fact that you're winning them to Christ. You're influencing them for the Lord. Just as they would not catch a fish without a net, you can't catch a fish without your life, without a testimony, without people being able to see a difference in you, that you are in fact a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've said this before, and I've seen it so much, and I believe it, that the first 30 to 60, at the most, 90 days after you get saved are crucial and critical. Now, I don't have a verse to show that. I've just seen that. People that plays around with their new birth, the first several days after that, they don't get serious about it. They don't get serious about separating themselves and letting God work in their heart, like Brother Craddock's talking about when he got saved, going home and pouring out the booze and throwing away the country music and the rock music, both. Hello. Both. Throwing all that out and getting clean. Amen. And I doubt he probably hadn't even heard any preaching on that. Amen. God dealt with me things when I first got saved, and I never heard anybody preach on it. I never hear nobody preach on it, but the Spirit of God began to prick my heart and say, you need to deal with this. This needs to go in your life. This is going to be a hindrance in your life. One of the great things, if you're going to be effective as a fisherman of men in the Lord, you're going to have to pay attention to what hinders you. You have to pay attention to what hinders you and be quick to deal with that. Amen. Because what is a hindrance today will be a greater hindrance tomorrow. It won't stay small. It'll get bigger and it'll grow roots in your life and it'll consume your life. But anyway, let me just make this mention, and it'll sound a little odd when I first say it, but just listen. God and the devil both want you to be holy. Now, that don't sound right, does it? God and the devil both wants you to be holy. Amen. Mr. Paul Sue can help us out here with a homonym. I've never used that word since I was in school until Friday, I believe it was. Homonyms. That's words that sound the same, but have absolutely no relation. The devil wants you to be holy. H-O-L-E-Y. God wants you to be holy. H-O-L-Y. They were mending their nets in this passage, indicating there was holes in their net. And so, and keep in mind, I'm building the whole message now off of this parallel. Jesus is saying to them, they were casting their nets in verse 18. They're mending their nets in verse 21. These nets were being used to catch fish. And Jesus says in verse 19, making the parallel application, he saith unto them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Just like you used those nets, I am going to use you. Amen. So we can find a parallel with that. I wanted to use Brother Ivan's net and Brother Craddock's net. Amen. Brother Jeter, I wanted to use their nets, but I didn't figure y'all could see it. So I thought that I'd bring my nets anyway. Amen. I thought I'd bring my nets to use this morning for the message. Amen. And so we're going to be using these this morning. Amen. A net represents a life. What kind of a life do you have? Do you have, well, I'm not asking it as a question. I was going to ask, do you have holes in your life? The truth is, we all have holes in our life. We all have holes that need mending. Amen. And I hope that God will help me to present this the way the Lord has dealt with my heart about it. Now, homonym, listen, we don't want our church to be a homonym church. We don't want our church to have similar sounding words, but nothing related. For instance, a lot of cults have a Bible. They'll even use that term, Bible. Well, that is what is in your lap, Mr. Jeter, is a Bible. But there's no relation, no correlation. Amen. They'll even use this word, Jesus. The JWs will have that in their language. Mormons will have that in their language. Others will have that in their language. But when you look at it from a biblical test, their Jesus and our Jesus is not even on the same page. Amen. I'm not interested in being a homonym church. You know it's deep when preachers preach in English. Amen. I mean, there's even churches that got Baptists on their sign. And I mean, we have no connection with them. Are you listening? There's a church in Gaffney, South Carolina. I'm not going to mention the name, but you can go on YouTube and just if you want to be real sick, just type in on YouTube, churches doing the Harlem Shake. It'll make you sick. Such degradation and disgrace. I still may respond to some of them. Only thing missing, that's what I want to put underneath there in the note. Only thing missing is the golden calf. Wicked, ungodly, amen. But even though they've got Baptists on their sign, some of them, and we've got Baptists on our sign, we are not a homonym with them. If anything, we are an antonym. Amen. We're opposites. Praise God. Amen. Yes. Amen. All right. But anyway, I wanted to deal with that a little more, but I'm going to go on. I want to take in the New Testament this word used for mending in verse 21, and we're going to come back and build the whole message on verse 21 and that mending of the nets, the mending of the nets. And of course, you'll see here, I have one here. Of course, this one's old as Methuselah. And you can tell that it is holy. You can tell that it's got holes in it everywhere. And in fact, this thing was discarded. I think Blake found it. Where was it? In the trash dump? You know why that? You know what that's saying? A net with holes is useless. But how many people have holes in their life, but they're still going through the motions of trying to hand out a tract or trying to catch men, trying to win their family to the Lord? When you have a holy life like this one, you are wasting your time trying to catch fish or to catch men with the gospel. On the other hand, we have this one. And I'm going to be dealing with this one quite a bit, all right? You say, it's full of holes. And I've got something good to say on that in just a little bit. But let me give you some usages of places of this word. The first one is 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 10. And I'll read the verse. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you. Is it not clear what Paul's dealing with? He's dealing with a local church, and he's saying you're to speak the same thing. You're to have, there should be no division among you. And here comes the word. But that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So the first time that verse there makes usage of that word translated mend, which means to repair, means to mend, to equip, to complete, to make one what they ought to be, make one fully ready for service. If you got holes in your net like this one, you're not ready for service. Amen? But this one, you're ready for service. All right? You don't have holes in your life. But let me watch this right here. This net right here, Brother Jeter, is made up of relationships. All of these were just various threads and strings attached together. You couldn't catch a fish with this if there was just one or two. In fact, that divide, the one, the net over there that's got holes in it, Brother Tom, this one right here that's got holes in it, you know what this is right here, Brother Tom? That is a breakdown in relationships. When one thread was attached to another thread that was attached to another thread that made the net, and whatever happened, there was a hole that came in that fellowship that put a hole in it. How many churches are trying to catch men, trying to win people to God, and they've got division in their church? Amen. Got division in their church. Pew to pew, got division. Pew to the pulpit, and vice versa, got division. Amen. And listen, and us having good fellowship here at the church is going to require maintenance. It's going to require constant attention. When you have different people coming into a local assembly and we've got different personalities, we've got different likes and dislikes, and you know, this one may like to cut up, that one over here is serious as a heart attack, and you know, people can get on your nerves. Say amen right there. I mean, and if you're not careful, resentment will creep in, and next thing you know, you'll start dodging them, and you'll start avoiding them, and amen. And we need to keep constantly working on our fellowship here at the church, because the devil don't want you to not be a net. He knows he would fail in that. Oh, y'all just close RBT down. That wouldn't get to first base. Everybody in here said never. So what he's content to do is just break some fellowships, just put some divisions in our relationships here at the church, so that all of our evangelistic September for Souls and August Missions Month and all anything else is in vain. Because you keep put a fish in the net, it won't stay in the net, because it's going to go out the hole. It's going to, how many people will, listen, how many people's probably in hell right now because of division and fighting and fussing at the house of God? No telling. But the devil won't let you think of that. See, when division comes in that net, Brother Tom, he won't let you think about the fish that you're going to lose. All you're focusing on is what I want. I want my way. And they didn't do it what I thought they ought to do. And the whole time, fish is getting out the hole. Amen. So the first time it's used there is 1 Corinthians 1 and 10. And it is dealing with a church. But in our text and these other verses that I want to reference, Jesus is dealing with a person. A personal emphasis. Let me give you some of those real quickly if I could. And I think this is interesting, that when Jesus was starting to call men to follow him, he found men that was caring about holes in their life. When he saw Peter and James and Andrew, Peter and Andrew and James and John mending their nets and working with their nets and using their nets, he thought, I can use them. Because they care about holes. They don't like holes in their net. They know what that's going to cost them. They know they're going to lose fish that way. And Jesus said, if I can get them that's concerned about holes in their life to follow me, then they will likewise care about holes in their testimony. Hebrews 13:21 is another place where this is used, except it's on a personal emphasis. I want to read verse 20 to go with it. I want to read verse number 20 to go with that. Because I want you to see this. Hebrews 13. Get there just a second. Hebrews 13, verse number 20. I want you to listen to this. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of an everlasting covenant. Let's stop right there. Thank God for that verse. We're saved, Brother Ivan, by a covenant, an everlasting covenant that came through the blood. I'm glad it said the blood of an everlasting covenant, but it was attached to the fact that the God of peace brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, our great shepherd. Now watch this. Everybody can shout about the resurrection. Everybody can shout about Jesus and his blood and him being our shepherd and the everlasting covenant. Is that not right? But if you'll notice, verse number 20 does not end with a period. Meaning that what he's saying, trying to get across to us, continues. Okay, good. God raised up Jesus from the dead in verse number 20. No resurrection, no salvation. God raised him up from the dead. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. Shed his blood, established an everlasting covenant. Wonderful! But that's not all he's about and what he wants to accomplish. What verse 20 is, accomplish things in heaven. Verse number 21 is what God wants to accomplish on earth. Make you perfect. There he is. There's the word. Same word used for mending in Matthew 4:21. Make you perfect. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Yes, just as sure. And I wrote these down in the side of my Bible there because I don't want to forget it. Verse number 20 is what God did for Jesus. Verse 21 is what God is doing through Jesus in our behalf and in our life. Verse 20 is the root of salvation. Verse 21 is the fruit of salvation. Verse 20 deals with our position in Christ. The covenant, our position in Christ. Verse 21 deals with our practical life. Make you perfect in every good work. Amen. Now perfect, are y'all listening? Means to mend the net. Verse number 20 speaks of our peace. Verse number 21 deals with our perfection. Verse number 20 deals with the blood and our covenant. Verse number 21 deals with our behavior and conduct. Amen. How many is in verse 21 or 20? I'm saved, preacher. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad Jesus rose from the dead. I'm glad for the blood of everlasting covenant. Thank God he's our great shepherd. But then they alleviate verse 21. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will. You're not interested in doing his will. You're not interested in him mending the nets of your life. You won't be interested in mending up the holes in your life if you're not interested in doing his will. You know when holes come in our life? You know when holes are allowed to remain in our life? It's when we're concerned about our own will. God says, I want to make you perfect in every good work to do his will. And he said, I'm going to be working in you. Well, I'd like to find that out in a lot of people. Claim to be saved, where's God's working at in you? You know, when you ought to get nervous, it's when you don't see God working in you. Working in you, watch this. Working in you, what's he working in you? That which is well-pleasing in his sight. So if you're not interested in that, then you're not interested in him making you perfect or mending up the holes in your life. Amen. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. If you're not interested in Jesus getting the glory in your life and through your life and out of your life, you certainly won't be interested in him making you perfect in every good work, mending up the holes. Amen. So there's a definite connection there. Luke 6:40 is another verse. Let me give this to you real quickly. Luke 6:40. The disciples is not above his master. The disciple is not above his master. Did you get that? But everyone that is perfect, there's the word again, shall be as his master. Everyone that is perfect or have had the holes in their life mended up, they shall be as their master. And our master is Jesus. And by the way, he is holy. H-O-L-Y. He doesn't have holes in his life. He could not have and did not sin. Amen. That's why he's qualified to be my ticket to heaven and my Savior, is that he is perfect. But I just show you there that mending up your holes in your life is moving toward Christ-likeness. Let me give you another verse real quickly, and then we'll focus in Matthew 4 and give you, and if we don't get done with it, we'll just do whatever we need to, all right? Listen to this, 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10. Night and day, praying exceedingly, that we may see your face, and here it comes, and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. You know what he's saying there? Perfect that which is lacking. The word perfect there, that whole term, perfect that which is lacking, it's what a hole is. It's a place of where something's missing. It's a place where something is lacking. What's lacking in your life? If you're not reading the Bible, something's lacking. If you're not, listen, being faithful to God in prayer, listen, that you're lacking. If you're slack in your church attendance and church involvement, then that's an area that's lacking in your life. So I just wanted to mention those, and I want to go back now to Matthew 4. Matthew 4, the Bible said in verse number 21, they were mending their nets. I want to deal first of all this morning with reasons for holes. I'm preaching, by the way, on going from holy to holy. Going from H-O-L-E-Y to H-O-L-Y. Going from holy to holy. That's what God is wanting to do, is take care and get rid of the holes in your life. Mend up the holes in your life. So the first thing I want to share with you this morning is reasons for holes. Amen. Everybody in here's got holes in your life. If you don't, you say you don't, we'll let your children testify. You say you don't, we'll let your husband testify, your wife testify, your parents testify. We got holes, reasons for holes. Holes don't just happen. Holes are there. They're caused. They're not created, they're caused. And I wrote down what some possible reasons is, Brother Tom. One, a hole can come in a net through hang-ups and snags. Hang-ups and snags. What is it in your life that you're hung up with? What is it that you're hung up with? What is it that is working as a snag or a snare that has grabbed a hold of your life and you maybe don't know it, but it's going to pull a hole, tear a hole in your life? So, amen. I'm telling you, I know God telling me to preach this. And I hope you get it. Amen. Hang-ups. Snags. We've all, if you fooled around with nets and fishing and all that stuff, you get hung up like that. Listen, something's got to give, and usually you break the line, or usually you tear something. Boy, the devil wants you and the testimony of your life, the net of your life, is God is pulling you through the water of this world to catch men. He wants to tear holes in your life. Tear holes in your testimony. So that's the first reason. Second reason is by ignoring frayed places. Just little areas, knots, little areas, little relationships, little connections that's starting to fray. Just starting to unravel a little bit. And if you're not careful, you'll not pay much attention to that, and you won't think much about that, and you'll think, well, the net is still basically in good shape. Why should I worry about that? I want to tell you, holes come from unraveling. Holes come in your testimony. Holes come in your life when you start to notice that your Bible reading and your devotions are starting to unravel just a little bit. They're starting to fray just a little bit. Your prayer life is starting to unravel just a little bit. I want to tell you, I hope everybody's listening. I just shows my name's what it is. God told me to preach this morning. When you see areas in your life spiritually starting to unravel, your spiritual desires, your hunger for God, amen, amen, your involvement of things of God starting to unravel and starting to fray a little bit, the devil has in his mind a design that when I'm done, there'll be a hole. Amen. By hang-ups and snags, by ignored frayed places. Number three, these are just some things I got by meditating on these nets. A third way, Lord, I hope you get this. The third way of possibly causing or a reason of a hole is too much contact with the bottom. Too much contact with the bottom. Don't answer this. How many times you come to church and you're down? You're defeated. Your spiritual joy is gone. Your shout's gone. Your song's gone. You've got the mully grubs. You've got the poochy lip. Amen. You know what that is? That's called the bottom. And you put your life on the bottom long enough, I promise you it will wear a hole in your testimony. In fact, probably that's where the snags are. And let me say this, another place, Brother Jeter, where the snags are is in shallow water. Yeah, a lot of people's got holes ripped in their life because they wouldn't go out in the deep water. They wanted to play around in the edge where it's shallow. So there's a third reason, by too much contact with the bottom. Are you down or up this morning? Are you encouraged or discouraged this morning? Do you have victory or are you defeated this morning? I don't want you to play that off. If you said, preach, I'm down, I'm defeated this morning, my spiritual joy is draining out of me, my spiritual victory is draining out of me, don't ignore that. That is the zone that the devil's going to specialize by putting holes in your life. And it's a lot easier, Brother Webb, to prevent a hole than it is to take the time to try to mend up a hole. Too much contact with the bottom. Here's your fourth reason. This is simple. I'll just mention, go on to about by ignoring the start of little holes. Oh, it's just little. It's just small. It's just an insignificant little thing. It's just one day of prayer I miss. It's just one Wednesday night I miss. It's just one Sunday school hour I miss. It's just, you know, big start small. Let me give you a good example of that. Song of Solomon says, boy, this is good. I'm telling you, God give this to me this week. The little foxes spoil the vines. Little foxes, that little cute fuzzy thing. That little thing that you don't want to kill but you'd like to pet. That little fox. And I got to thinking, Sister Hayes, why is the little foxes tearing down the vines and destroying and devouring the vines? They're not grape eaters. Foxes are not fruit eaters. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, show me. I said, there's something there. And the Lord showed me. He said, the little foxes are devouring and destroying the vines, not because they won't eat the grapes, Brother Rob. They want to devour the vines so you won't eat the grapes. They don't want you to grow. They don't want that. Amen. The fruit of the vine, which represents joy in the Bible. They don't want you to have joy. Amen. And the fox in the Bible is a type of the devil. In fact, Herod was called an old fox in the Bible. Well, don't ignore them little declines, them little uninterested, the little coldness, the little callousness, the little, listen, holes come, Brother Mark, when you ignore and make light of little holes. It don't take much time to fix up a little hole, but if you leave it alone, it's going to become a big hole. Here, let me give you another reason real quick. I know I'm not going to get done this morning. I didn't see that. Here's another reason for a hole, Lord showed to me. By allowing your nets to get dirty. And your net represents what? Your life. You say, where do you get that? Luke chapter 5, when Jesus came, I'll read the verse. When Jesus came there, here's the verse. Luke 5 and verse 2. And saw, this is Jesus, and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Washing their nets. And I found out that the reason they do that, they know the importance of clean nets. They said that dirty nets get stiff. Woo! Let your life get dirty. Let your life get defiled. And Brother Brian, you said it in your testimony a while ago. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. This world is geared in its nature to defile you. Take a clean shirt, a clean dress, a clean something. Brother Chuck, you got on a white shirt. Just throw it out there on the parking lot and see if your shirt makes the parking lot clean. Throw it out there in the yard. Throw it out there in a dirt pile. See if your shirt makes the dirt white. No. It's geared, this nation is geared, this world is geared to where the dirt is geared to get on you and affect you and defile you. You get stiff and the Spirit of God has a little hard time moving you. The Spirit of God gets to dealing with you about going to the altar and you're losing your joy and you're losing ground and you're going in reverse and you're going in the wrong direction and if you're not careful, you'll let that dirt dry in your life and it doesn't just stay on the surface. I found this out, Brother Ivan. It don't just stay on the surface of the fibers. It works its way into the fibers. That dirt and sand and salt and grit works its way into the fibers, Brother Luther, of that net. And as that net is being used and moved, it's just like a grinder in the fibers. Next thing you know, you got a hole. Some of you need to wash your nets. And I'm going to tell you what's the truth, friend. I have to do that all the time. Now, I'm not talking about all the time like once a week. I'm talking about several times a day. Cleaning my mind spiritually. You can tell you're going in the wrong direction. You can tell, ladies and gentlemen, if you got holes starting to develop in your life by your thought life. How little do you think about the Lord? What do you think about more? Who do you think about more? And the devil is working overtime, Brother Tim, to get your attention and pull it away from God. Because he knows if he can get your attention, he's got your affection. And if he's got your attention and your affection, he will have your actions. Well, amen, that's good. Here's you another one. Here's you another one. By having weak places in the net. Holes develop where weaknesses are. You remember me preaching some time ago, two, 3 or 4 years ago, on watching your weaknesses? And everybody's got them. Everybody's got weaknesses in your life. You need to watch your weaknesses. Because that's where a hole is going to very easily develop. All right, let's move on and deal with something else. Well, no. I want to deal with this. Brother Tim, if I hold this net up to you, you'd look at it, you'd glance at that, you'd say, "Preacher, that thing's full of holes." And I set that net up and I got to looking at it. That's what meditation is. You want to look at a verse, look at something, look at an object. Jesus was a master at using object lessons. And I got to looking at that net, Brother Tom. And I said, "But Lord, it's full of holes." Oh, and I mean, it clicked just like that. Lord showed me. He said, "Yeah, there's holes that are of the net. But then there's holes that's in the net. Holes that are of the net works for the net. Holes that are in the net works against the net. Holes that are of the net allows this net to be efficient. Holes that are in the net allows the escape of fish." Watch this right here. Boy, I seen this, Brother Tom. I said, "Oh, yeah." You know why it's got holes in it? The holes that are of the net, Brother Tom? So that when you're catching fish, you're not catching the world that they live in. You catch the fish, you catch the individual, you catch the person, but the world in which that sinner lives in drains out. These are holes of sanctification. These are holes of sanctification. Have you ever tried to dip up minnows or a fish with a bucket? What do you catch? You catch nothing but water. Why? Because there's no way for it to drain out. And very seldom ever will catch a fish. And that's what a worldly church is. They don't have the sanctified holes in them. Holes that God has put in through His design of your life to be pure and holy. So that when you are being used to catch fish, the world in which the fish live in. And fish is a type of sinners. He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. I want you to catch men. I want you to win souls to the Lord. He said, but I want your life to be sanctified and separated to the point, ladies and gentlemen, that the world in which that sinners live in drains off and drains away and don't affect you. Are y'all listening? I had a net. I took it back. It was called a net. It looked like a net. It was a net on the receipt. But I took it back. It was one of them old rubber ones. It had holes in it, but the part that wasn't a hole was about that wide. And when I'd go to dip a fish, well, I mean, it was like, and it wasn't because I was catching a big fish either. It was because I was catching half the river with it. I said, I ain't having that. No more fish than I catch. I don't need to wrestle with them. Amen. So I went back and got me a net, praise God, that don't catch the world that the fish live in. Preacher, why do you preach on worldliness all the time? Why do you preach against that? Why do you preach against that? Because I know who's behind worldliness. I know that. Brother Mark gave a classic example today of what the world is in our lesson. I wrote it in the back of my Bible. He said, the world is humanity without God. That's what the world is. Amen. Amen. Boy, if you're not careful. But preacher, oh, let me preach right there a minute. Oh, but I'm going to win them. I know they're not what they need to be, and I know they're probably not even saved, and I know they don't have a spiritual desire in their whole body. But I'll win them, preacher. I'm fishing. I'll catch them. No, you know what you're going to catch? Because you've already, by that testimony, indicated you've compromised. You've already watered down your convictions. You've already backed up on things you've said to the Lord that you'd do. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to catch the world that they live in. And the next thing you know, you're going to be worldly, which is a life without God. Let me move on. Amen. What was that one? That was the reasons. Secondly, let me just deal with this one real quickly. And then I'm going to just cut it off right here. And if the Lord leads, I may come back tonight and finish, because I've got some other things, man, I need to deal with. And I don't want to just cram it in this morning. Listen to this. Secondly, not only do we see the reasons for the holes, but then there's the recognition of the holes. Somebody had to notice. Somebody had to notice. Who do you think probably noticed in our passage where there in James and John, verse 21? They were the sons of Zebedee in a ship with Zebedee, their father. Could it be that the father said, hey boys, you got some holes there that needs some attention? The father. And boy, you can make application there both ways. We have a heavenly father. And I promise you, he doesn't mind one bit to point things out in your life and say, you know, Brother Bob, there's a hole right there starting to develop in your life. You're letting a hole come in your thought life. You're letting a hole come in your desires. You're letting a hole come in your church attendance, your devotions, whatever, your desire and burden to win people to God. You're letting a hole come in it. The Father, the Heavenly Father. You got a hole right there. I'm talking about it's recognized. Holes are recognized. If this girl, all these up here, they can see pretty good. Even if I hadn't pointed them holes out, did I even have to point them out? All I have to do is just show you that. I said, hey, like my new net. Hey, like my net. You think it's going to be a good thing to take fishing? And more than likely, even when I held this up to you, I guarantee you the first thing that caught your eye was what? Man. And hold that thought, because I'll be right back there in just a second. But not only the Heavenly Father will point up the holes out in our life, but I had an earthly father that would do it. My daddy didn't mind one bit, Brother Luther, pointing holes out in my life. And I mean, he attached some force with it. He dealt with music holes in my life. I'm talking about before I got saved. I was living in his house. I wasn't even saved. But amen. I mean, I thought it was. He thought it was. But I certainly wasn't living a saved life for sure. I wasn't saved. God showed me that when I was 20 years old. But my daddy would say, "Now you ain't listening. You're not going to listen to that music here. You're not listening to that in our house. You're not going to do that." We had some music holes daddy pointed out in our life. Thank God, daddies, you're responsible for your home. You need to point that out to your children. Hey, you need to want that'll be a, that's a hole right there. That's not Christ likeness. You're not going to be in as your master. Jesus wouldn't listen to that. Jesus wouldn't listen to that. Hello? Y'all still with me? I know preaching like this, everybody wants to feel like it's prayer time. Huh? Oh, yeah. Dad says, "You're not listening to that garbage in my house. I don't care who it belongs to." Amen. That's right. Deal with them music holes. Daddy pointed out modesty holes in my life. Daddy says, you're not going to dress certain ways around the house. He said, "You're not going to do that." Of course, I slipped, sneaked, went out, and, you know, my dad said, "You're not wearing that around here. You're not wearing shorts out and all that stuff. You're not going to go out here showing you biceps and all that stuff." He said, "You're not going to do that." I had a daddy that didn't care to point out holes in my life. By the way, parents, if you don't point the holes out in your children's life, they'll think it's normal to have holes. They'll look at their other friends and they'll say, "Well, preacher, they got holes. Their parents don't say nothing to them about their holes." Anyway, so it was noticed by the father or by God, if you will. It's noticed by other fishermen. I said it a while ago. I said, "What did you see, Brother Tom? What's the first thing you saw? A net? The handle? Frame? The parts there was no holes?" No, you noticed the holes. Other fishermen will notice the holes. People that are co-laborers with God, they're not stupid. You may keep those small holes hid. The pastor may not know it. Parents may not know it. Friends may not know it. But I want to tell you, that hole that's small will not stay small, Brother Brian. It will get bigger. And everybody in your church and everybody in your town, Brother Carol, listen to this right here. When David tore a hole in his testimony with Bathsheba, nobody knew it at first. It was just a small hole. God knew it. God sent the man of God over there. Was it Nathan? What is his name? Nathan? Said, "Thou art the man." He said, "Go over there." And for the first time, David knew that it was out on him. "Thou art the man." And before it was all said and done with judgment and death and all of that, everybody knew. In fact, here we are several thousand years later, and we all know it. Other fishermen's going to know when you got a hole in your net. And here's the worst one, and I'm closing with this one for the message this morning. The fish is going to know it. The fish is going to know it. Fish is going to know it. I was in the bathroom getting ready this morning, meditating on this further and more. And boy, it come to me just plain as day. Fish likes holes in your life. Fish represents who? Sinners. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. You're going to catch men. Henceforth you shall catch men. You're going to be catching men. Sinners love holes in your life. Why? Because they can use that as a reason to get away, to escape. Yeah. Oh. Isn't that good? Isn't that a big thought Lord gave me this morning? Sinners love holes in your life. Do you? Sinners love for professing Christians to cuss and tell dirty jokes. Yeah, sinners love that. I had a relative, I don't hardly claim him, but I had a relative that answered a response of what he thought about alcohol, what he thought about drinking. And I mean, he condoned it, man, just up, claims to be a preacher, claims to be a pastor of some off-brand generic mess. And I'm telling you, I wouldn't walk to that back door to hear him. Anything that Bible's for, he's against. Everything the Bible's against, he's for. Took and put a big video on. All the wine in the Bible was fermented. Even Jesus drank wine, he said. That's ignorant. That's stupid. Rest in the scriptures for their destruction. But sinners love that. Hey, come on, let's go down here to this generic off-brand outfit. They ain't nothing wrong with drinking. Hey, we can drink on Saturday night and come in here and sing Amazing Grace on Sunday morning. Sinners love holes in your life. Sinners love a holy church. H-O-L-E-Y. Hey, man, that's right. You think sinners want you to do right? You think sinners want you to listen to the right kind of music? You think sinners want you to dress right? Hello? Sinners love it when you're immodest. Sinners love it when you let blare your country and rock music. Sinners love that. Why? Because they can blend with that. Sinners love it when church folk go dancing. They love it. Why? There's no conviction on you in their life. Bible says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Is your life reproving them? Is there a conviction that comes off of you onto them? Miss June, you was talking about that, whoever that was, you told about the change in what God had done in your life. Next thing you know, they're gone. When I got saved, Brother Tom, when I got saved, hey, that crowd that I was thick with, I'm talking about, I thought they would go through thick and thin with me. I mean, everywhere I went, they went because I was the one putting gas in the tank and paying the car insurance. And the car payment. I don't know why they just, a bunch of them bums, they like to run around me. Because it was free, I guess. But when I got saved, they said, he'll be back. He's just on a little religious kick. He'll be back. They wanted me back. They didn't want me to serve God. The girl I was engaged to, she didn't want me to serve God. She hung on for a few days. Amen. If they fall in love with your carnal life and then you ever decide to go spiritual, you can count on it. They're probably going to bail out on you, and she did. Say amen right there. Amen. Amen. She didn't mind me going to church, but she sure didn't want me to change. But I changed. God changed me. Inside, outside. Amen. I'm talking about, listen, God's still changing me. He's still working on me. Amen. But oh my goodness. Listen, I'm talking about immediately, buddy. Started throwing stuff, going to the dump, throwing stuff, cleaning my truck out of the music and destroying it. Amen. Throwing the Marlboros out and getting rid of all that garbage. And the wintergreen. I mean, all that went. Didn't hear no preaching on it. The Holy Ghost just dealt with me. And I said, Lord, if you want it, you got it. If that's a hole, I'm going to mend it up. Because I mean to serve the Lord. And I'd have never missed none of that. Brother Tom, none of that stuff that the Lord dealt with me about, that I dealt with, that was a hole in my testimony, a hole in my life. Sinners love those holes in my life. Jesus didn't. And he dealt with me about it, and I didn't argue with him. I'd go to the altar. I said, Lord, it's done. You had it. It's over. Amen. Oh, Brother Ricky. Ricky Patterson. I probably shouldn't mention his name. But Lord was dealing with him during that same revival. Some of y'all are looking a little wormy. What's the deal with that? Afraid I'm going to get on your sin? Afraid I'm going to point out a hole in your life? Hey, a pastor's worth anything. I will point out a hole in your life. Amen. Not because he's hating you, but he knows the cost of that. And we're going to see that tonight, if the Lord help me. Lost my train of thought. Where was that, Brother Tim? Oh, yeah, yeah. Lord dealt with him about skull and stuff. And he never would do it. Lord dealt with him. He told this. And I'm sitting on the front row. I always sit on this side. I sat on the front row. And I mean, the church was packed. I'm talking about standing room only. It's funny. He laughs about it still yet. But it wasn't funny for him that night. Son, the Lord knows how to embarrass you. He deals with you and deals with you and deals with you and deals with you, and you keep ignoring and you keep... God knows how to pull the plug, pull the wool. He knows how to have you found out. And son, he come up through there, and I'm talking about standing room only. And out of his pocket, how it did it is beyond me. And it was beyond him. But out of his pocket came that can and rolled dead down the middle of the aisle. I'm talking about testimony, rolling down. It come. I was sitting right there, and I heard it hit, and I thought, what is that? And I looked, and here it come rolling down the aisle. And then it made a, you know how they'll start making that turn? It made a turn up toward the altar, and then it just went, you know, real slow. And it stopped, and it was right there at the altar. I'm telling you, he was 40 shades of red, son. Needless to say, that was the end of that hole. But other fish will see your hole. Fish get in the net, they will get out of the net. How? Through the holes that's in your life. And let me say this, I'm going to be done right here. If you've got a hole in your life, I promise you sinners are going to see it and they're going to know it. Amen. You say something you ought not to say, there'll be a sinner right around there close that'll hear it. Tell a dirty joke or something that's off-colored, something that's unbecoming of a Christian. Somebody lost will hear it. Amen. You do something that you shouldn't do as a Christian, there'll be a lost person see it. I guarantee it. And they won't never let you forget it. Lose your cool, get mad, pitch a hissy. They won't never let you forget it. They won't never let you forget. You can ask them, forgive me and all that, but they'll always know. Yeah, I remember that hole in your life. The devil wants to put holes in your life. Why? It's not that he's against you. He just don't want you to be effective in catching fish, because he knows that fish will find the hole and will escape. Amen. But Chuck, if you bring that white shirt up here and you only had one little dot on it, if you just had one little dot on it, rest of it's pure white, clean. Just had one little dot. It is normal. As you walk around, everybody in here, including me, wouldn't even hardly notice the rest of the shirt. They didn't. Hey, Brother Chuck, you got a little something on your shirt there. That's just the way we are. That's the way sinners are. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet.